Started hearing the beginning of the pastime of killing a putana. All we heard, the importance and glories of hearing. I think Pinky also needs one. No. Yes. Finally, after hearing the glories of the pastimes of Krishna, King, as Pickett said, my Lord, we read this, I think. No, we didn't. My Lord, Sukadev Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord. But Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment to hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes, and one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment to Him and in friendship with devotees, will give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about the activities of the Lord. Isn't it interesting how Maharaj Prakrit said that hearing about materialistic hearing about material things, which it is the root cause of material existence. At the very root, at the core of material existence is the hearing about material things. Why? Because when we hear about material things, attachment and aversion develop. I want, I don't want. And icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. But this is the duality that binds everyone, thinking that one situation in the material world is very good and desiring it, and another situation in the material world is not good and I don't want it. In this way, we continuously live on the mental platform, wanting and not wanting. It's been said that if to think about the present, just what I'm doing now, moving my hand forward, turning the pages of the book, if we have our mind on the present, the mind has to be peaceful. So which mode of material nature is that? Goodness. And if we're always thinking about the past and thinking, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, oh, only if this had happened, that's lamentation. And that's the mode of ignorance. And always thinking about the future, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and later on I'm going to plan this and scheme that and get this and get that, and then that's going to happen, and when that happens and that happens and that's going to happen. That's the plan-making mode. And which is that? Desiring.
Passion.
So, because we're so dominated in Kali Yuga by passion and ignorance, we never are where we are. And especially if we have a mobile phone with us. Because then, you can see this all the time, people just walking down the road, and especially it looks good when they don't, when they have the hands free. So they're going, and they're everywhere, but not where they are. So if you're not where you are, you are where you're not. That's too difficult. And our minds are never, or very rarely in the mode of goodness. So it's so hard to absorb our mind. So this is the root cause of material existence. Because we hear so many material things and we make so many material plans. And attachment for hearing about material things vanishes when we hear Krishna Katha. Then attachment for him comes. So please, Maharaj Prickett asked, because he's going to leave this world very soon. Now it's the seventh chapter of the tenth canto, so it's getting closer to the time he's going to leave. So the last thing he wants is to develop a material attachment, because if you're going to die very soon, what's the use of having a material attachment? You can't have it fulfilled, and it just causes lamentation and longing. So please speak about those activities of the Lord. I think one more cup is required. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Prema Vavarta, Krishna Bahiyamukh Haya Bhogavan Jakare Nikatasta Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. Our material existence is maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment. And therefore we change to different varieties of bodies. So all the different thoughts that we have in our plan making, because we're not always so aware of what we're thinking, we tend to think it's just innocent and not harmful. But actually, if we accept that we are eternal souls and that according to our desires we will take a next body, then it is not innocent at all. And especially if the mind becomes habituated, has a constant habit of thinking and planning and scheming, and it's always so amazing, because it's desiring, and then and we think that this person said this, and then I said that, and we end up just having these conversations in our mind. But who are we talking to? We're just talking to ourselves. Just talking one. Remembrance in the mind talking to another, and in this way the mind keeps us bewildered 24 hours a day, practically speaking. The only time we're not bewildered by the mind is when we're sleeping, because we're so bewildered by the mode of ignorance we can't even hear the mind. So our material existence is maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment, and therefore change to different varieties of bodies. Brahmayan sabhabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya asanap piklesh shada'as sadeha. As long as we have these temporary bodies, they give us many varieties of tribulations, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidhaivika. This is the root cause of all suffering, which is the body. But this root cause of suffering can be removed by revival of our Krishna consciousness. All the Vedic literatures presented by Vyasadeva and other great sages are therefore intended to revive. What does revive mean?
Bring back life.
Yes. Literally, bring us back again to life. So all the Vedic literatures are intended to revive our Krishna consciousness, which begins to revive with Shravana Kirtanam. Shravana Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures exist simply to give us a chance to hear about Krishna. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful, which arouse one's inquisitiveness. What does that mean, that they arouse our inquisitiveness? Do we usually think of that, the avatars arouse our inquisitiveness?
Arouse our inquisitiveness about realms beyond our existence.
What's another word for inquisitiveness?
Curiosity.
Yeah, curiosity, like that inquiry. What is it? What about this and what about that? So it's very good, because the mind starts getting entangled in the avatars. If we're not curious, inquisitive or curious about the spiritual realm and spiritual beings, then naturally the mind is going to be inquisitive and curious about this material realm, and the result of that is not innocent again. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful, which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally such avatars as Matsya. Matsya is? So a fish incarnation of God. What could possibly be inquisitive or interesting about that? A talking fish, no less. He teaches the Vedas and he pulls a boat across the ocean of devastation by the horn. Yeah. Exactly. So, and then there's much such as Matsya, Korma, and Varaha. But generally such avatars as Matsya, Korma, and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. Now why did Prabhupada say generally?
Right.
So although some devotees may be attracted to Matsya, Korma, or Varaha, as they have eternal relationship with him, with these avatars, but generally, when devotees hear about Krishna's avatars, they become more attracted and more curious, because his pastimes are so attractive. First of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. This is very similar to what the lamentation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave in the second verse of Sikastakam. Dudaya vimidriham vihan anujanuraga. Unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction to your holy names, even though they are so generous in bestowing upon anyone who hears them your lordship, but still I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for them. First of all, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna. This is the root cause of our suffering, because the hearing about Krishna is the watering of the root of our devotion. But Parikshit Maharaj specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amazed Mother Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Braja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, who was the first demon that Krishna killed?
Putra.
So in the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putana, Trinavata, Shakatasura, and showed the entire universe within his mouth. Thus the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yashoda and all the inhabitants of Braja in great astonishment. The process to revive one's Krishna consciousness is ados shraddha tata sadhu sanga bhakti samata sindhu. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees. If one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj recommends that one hear about Krishna's childhood activities, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Koma, and Varaha. Wanting to hear more and more from Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. Texted. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadeva Goswami to narrate other childhood pastimes exhibited by Krishna while playing as a human being, human child. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates at different times in different planets and universes, and according to the nature of those places, he exhibits his unlimited potency. So he exhibits his unlimited potency, but not, he's always unlimited, but according to the nature of the place and the times, he exhibits different aspects of his unlimited nature. And because he has an unlimited nature that has unlimited potency, he has unlimited ways to exhibit his unlimited self. So if one becomes interested in hearing about Krishna, then there's no question of boredom, because he's unlimited. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to kill the gigantic Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. But on other planets, the inhabitants are more advanced, and therefore the pastimes the Lord performs are still more wonderful. Does that make you curious? Well, it's curious enough to start speculating. What are these pastimes like that are more wonderful? Anyone know? Anyone has visited?
Well, if the Brahma here has only four heads, because this is a small planet, a universe, and if there are other Brahmas who have millions of heads, everything must be expanded in
size. You mean, oh yeah, in physical size too.
Physical size and, you know, just variegatedness.
So yes. So when a Brahma with a million heads offers his prayers, Krishna's appearance on this planet like a human being makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore Maharaj Prickett was very much interested in hearing about Krishna. Sukadev Goswami said, when Mother Yasoda's baby, who is Mother Yasoda's baby? Was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. And such a ceremony, called Uttan, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. So that's the indication that it's time for the child to leave the house for the first time, when he turns over for the first time. and then the child is properly bathed. Up to that time, his body is too delicate to be bathed properly. So just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yasoda celebrated this ceremony with the other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini, the nakshatra Rohini. And the brahmanas, joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians, also took part. This great ceremony was observed by Mother Yasoda. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yasoda received the brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows and garlands. The brahmins properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony, and their chanting of Vedic hymns made the ceremony auspicious. And when they finished, and Mother Yasoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. So then she got up to attend to her other household affairs. The liberal Mother Yasoda, absorbed in celebrating the Uttana ceremony, was busy receiving guests, worshipping them with all respect, offering them clothing, cows, garlands, and grains. So when this type of charity is going on, and the Brahmins are chanting, and of course Krishna is right there, the atmosphere is so auspicious, and everyone is so happy. So then, in the midst of all this happy celebrating, and Mother Yasoda was the hostess, she could not hear the child crying for mother. At that time, the child Krishna demanded to drink the milk of his mother's breast, and he angrily threw his legs upward. So it's quite hot at this time. If this is 3 months after Krishna's birth, so Krishna is born in what month? Let's see. Yeah, good. The eighth day of which month is it? But it's always in a lunar month. So in any case, so it's still hot. So to shade the child from the sun, she put him underneath a cart, a household hand cart. But this hand cart was actually another form of Shakatasura, a demon who had come there to kill the child. Because Shakatasura saw that Putana had taken the form of a witch, or of a beautiful lady. She had accepted a form. She was actually very horrible in appearance. She was horrible and very big and horrible, and had matted hair, and was a Rakshasi. But then, of course, and she was going around killing children in that form. But then when she went to Nanda Maharaj's house, she was afraid of the warriors that protected the village of Nanda Maharaj, because they threw Narayan arrows They knew how to shoot their iron arrows. They were powerful warriors, so she took the form of a beautiful lady, like a second Lakshmi Devi. But she had to accept a form. So Shakatasura knew, this Asura knew that Putin had been killed because she had accepted a form. So he decided to come there by his own power in a formless way. And when he was formless and saw that Krishna was underneath the cart that held the utensils and was protecting him from the sun, and that he was not, and Krishna wasn't being protected by his mother or anything, he entered the cart and assumed the form of the cart. And then the cart was very high off the ground and the wheels were very high, and Krishna was underneath it. But when the demon entered the cart, it became heavier. And therefore, Krishna became angry. Because the cart demon was right there and approaching him, trying to kill him. But under the pretext of being angry, because he wanted to drink his mother's milk. Remember, he's just a tiny child. And a little child has tender legs. And just by the, and children, when they cry, the little 3-month-year-old child on his back crying, kicking his legs, his tender legs, and the cart had sunk down deeper. And just by the kicking, because by Krishna's arrangement, the cart sunk down deeper, so he didn't have to kick his legs very, very, very high, which would have been inconvenient. So that it was down low, and he just kicked his legs like that. But to be kicked by someone who's unlimitedly powerful is far different than being kicked by a little 3-month child who has, of course, no... Because the child who's 3 months, his legs aren't even powerful enough to support his body to walk. But when Krishna's legs kicked that cart like that, the cart went flying, broke apart, and all the utensils, all the brass utensils. Did you wash your hands? Go and wash your hands and come back. So, the unlimited power, and there was a great racket, so much sound because all the brass pots and everything, the hand cart, very good boy, everything fell to the ground. And this was in the middle of a festival, and suddenly everyone, you know, the Brahmins are chanting their prayers, and Mother Yasoda is giving gifts and charity, and the mood is so auspicious. And suddenly there's this tumultuous sound of all the pots falling to the ground. And the cart is broken here and there. So purport. So Krishna angrily threw his legs upward because he wanted to drink milk. Krishna had been placed underneath the household handcart. But this handcart was actually another form of Shakatasura, a demon who had come there to kill the child. Now on the plea, what does that mean? The plea, because of the excuse of demanding to suck his mother's breast, Krishna took this opportunity to kill the demon. Thus, he kicked Shakatasura just to expose him. Although Krishna's mother was engaged in receiving guests, Lord Krishna wanted to draw her attention by killing the Shakatasura, and therefore he kicked that cart-shaped demon. Such are the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna wanted to draw the attention of his mother, but while doing so, he created great havoc, not understandable by ordinary persons. They couldn't understand what had happened. Why? How did this cart get knocked over and all the utensils and metal pots and everything? How did they all come crashing down? Because it takes so much strength to do this. And there was a little baby underneath the cart. Is it possible that this little baby could have done it? How is that possible?
So, but while doing so, he created a great havoc not understandable by ordinary persons. Ordinary persons means those who don't understand that Krishna, or in thinking in the way that Krishna was just unlimitedly powerful. These narrations are wonderfully enjoyable, and those who are fortunate are struck with wonder upon hearing of these extraordinary activities of the Lord. There's ordinary and extraordinary, beyond ordinary. Now, what happens if someone thinks, it sounds extraordinary, but are they really true? Is this just some kind of a story? Just a story that people of ancient times told to amuse the little children? So Prabhupada answers that question here. Although the less intelligent regard these stories or these pastimes as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them, but yet they are facts. They are real facts. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Prickett and Sukadeva Goswami took pleasure in them. And other liberated persons, following in their footsteps, become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. So this is really the only way that I've heard Prabhupada answer the question about, are these mythological or are they true? Because how could you prove to someone that they're true and not just stories? You could say, well, they are true. Or they say, well, I don't think so. Well, they're true because they're in the Shastra. Well, that's your Shastra. That's your books. How do we know that the books are true? How do you know that someone didn't just make them up and write them down? So whatever answers are given on that level, you can't ultimately convince. But Prabhupada is explaining a very convincing argument here, that great liberated persons, they become so absorbed in these pastimes and they become jubilant, and they can listen to them, think about them, and hear about them, and become absorbed in thoughts of them 24 hours a day, and they're so happy and thrilled by doing this that they forget all about material life. They forget their material necessities, and they're not feeling any lack. They forget them because those things become irrelevant to them, tuchavat, insignificant. So if they're just material and common, like some made-up story, such as Mickey the Mouse and Donald the Duck, famous, and there's contemporary ones too. But how long does anyone become absorbed thinking about Mickey the Mouse and just so happy and thrilled by doing that? I mean, even the artists who create them, who draw the pictures and everything, if you don't pay them, they won't do it, because there is no ecstasy, there's no spiritual content. It is just mythology. It is just some story, made up story. So no one, after you become more than 4 or 5 years old, you give that up, these silly stories. So it's excellent for a little child, but when someone becomes older, this is one of the first things they do. They give up those stories and move to some other kind of stories. But the Goswamis and other great saints, they can just think about Krishna's pastimes and become absorbed in them, and feel full satisfaction, a full life on every level of transcendental happiness. So the fact that there were and are such personalities is the greatest proof that Haridas Thakur could chant the names of Krishna practically 24 hours a day and not feel it was boring. This is such a great proof. Can someone do this, chanting these made up characters' names? And if anyone wants to make an experiment.
Only if you have a competition. You know, like if you have a competition to say, can anyone do this? And then they're doing it for the reward.
No, I think no one can do it.
Of course, but if you're going to do an extended beyond human effort in anything, not for the taste of the thing, usually.
But I'm saying that even for $1 million, people can't do it. Sit and chant Donald Duck, Donald Duck. Minnie Mouse, Minnie Mouse. Very exciting, yes? You just can't, it doesn't have a thrill to it. Because, and they keep changing too, over the years, because when you get bored of one fictional character, you have to turn to another.
And even
What did you say? Simpsons. Yes, Simpsons. Hari Simpson. At least Hari. What's his name? Fred? They used to be Flintstones too. And Popeye the Sailor. But no one wants to hear about Popeye the Sailor. Popeye, because his eyes are full of pop.
New stories, there has to be something changing all the time. If it's not the character, it'll be the law of something. But this is the same mantra, the same process, changing all the time. There's nothing equivalent.
So then they say that you're hypnotizing your mind. Only if
it was that easy.
So therefore, that was Prabhupada's answer. Actually, these narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Prickett and Sukadev Goswami took pleasure in them. You never hear anyone who's dying. You know, they just want, please bring me Mickey Mouse comic books. And please, I beg you to tell me more and more about that mouse. Because I'm experiencing newer and newer pleasure by hearing that Mickey. So they're actually so enjoyable and enlightening. The Maharaj Prickett and Sukadeva Goswami took pleasure in them, and other liberated persons following in their footsteps become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Now, so Lord Sri Krishna was lying down underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard, and although his little legs were as soft as leaves, so leaves are so soft. When he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. Because even when Krishna is little, his legs are unlimitedly powerful. The wheels separated from the axle, so he just touched it with his little legs. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered. How do you say
everywhere in an interesting way. And even a little more. Yes, hither and thither. Yes. And they, all of them scattered hither and thither. That's such a good word, yeah? Hither and thither. It just, it has the sounds to it, too. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. When Lord Krishna was of a very tender age, his hands and legs resembled soft new leaves. Yet simply by touching the hand cart with his legs, he made the cart fall to pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way and yet not exert himself very much. The Lord, in his Vamana avatar, had to extend his foot to the greatest height to penetrate the covering of the universe. And when the Lord killed the gigantic demon Hiranyakashipu, he had to assume the special bodily feature of Nrisingadeva. But in his Krishna avatar, the Lord did not need to exert much energy. Therefore, Krishna is tu, Bhagavan, Sayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy according to the time and circumstances, but in this form, He exhibited unlimited potency. Thus, the handcart collapsed, its joints broken, and all the metals, pots, and utensils scattered. The Vaishnava Toshini remarks that although the handcart was higher than the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and superficially broke the handcart. Now, Madhi Yasoda, see these pastimes of Krishna's just after his birth. The most prominent figure in the pastime, of course, is Krishna. But he is the beloved. Krishna is the beloved. And the great lover, the Ashraya Tattva, is Madhi Yasoda. So Madhi Yasoda is so glorified in these pastimes because her love for Krishna was so complete. And it was so full. So, we can just imagine that Madhi Yasoda very innocently put her beloved Krishna, because mothers naturally love their children, but when the child is all attractive and all, and the mother is the eternal associate of Krishna, we can't imagine what kind of love existed between the mother, but it was in the child, but it's complete, full absorption. So she is called Ragatmika. That means that she's full to the highest degree of rag, or natural attraction for Krishna, spontaneous, natural, complete, full absorption and attraction for Krishna. So she had placed the child underneath the cart, and she was holding the auspicious ceremony just for him, for his welfare. It's only for him. And then he was tired, so she lied down with him and then placed him under the cart where he would be protected from the sun. And then she went off to make the occasion more auspicious for him by giving charity and doing greeting all the guests, keeping everyone happy so that they would bless Krishna. And then suddenly there's a loud, the whole cart goes flying. And not only was it visually, the first thing is you hear the sound of the utensils flying everywhere because they're all metal. So just imagine the immediate anxiety that Madhi Yasoda is in, because where there is prema, there is anxiety. Very different from shantaras, where you do anything to
avoid anxiety. But where there is prema, there must be anxiety, but not for oneself, but for the beloved. Because there is a full absorption of the consciousness in the beloved, and the beloved was Krishna. So there was this racket of the noise and the pots and the utensils being scattered hither and thither. And Maria Soda wanted to complete anxiety.
When Mother Yasoda and the other ladies who had assembled at the Uttana festival and all the men headed by Nandamaraj saw the wonderful situation, they began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed by itself. They began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but they were unable to do so. The assembled coward men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Because they are village people. So they say, is this the work of some demon? Or is it some evil planet? They asked, how could this possibly have happened? The cart was strong. And at that time, there were small children there. And they all asserted, that means they made very clear, definite statements, that the cart had been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. And as soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. They said there was no doubt about it. We've heard of people being haunted by ghosts. Having no gross material body, a ghost seeks shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. The Shakateshwara was a ghost who had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. And when Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs that were just like
leafed,
a new grown leaf.
Soon it will be new grown leaf time. Yes? And they come out and they're very soft and tender and they unfurl and the color is
quite wonderful and it's all fresh, and by the end of the season the leaves are old and wrinkled like this.
But when they're fresh, for Krishna they're soft and so tender. So Krishna's legs and feet and arms and palms were so fresh and tender like leaves.
So when Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled, as already described. This was possible for Krishna because of his full potency, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Angani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti pasyanti vanti kalayanti charam jaganti ananda chinmaya sarujjala vigrahasya govindamari purusham tamaham vajami.
Krishna's body is Satchitananda Vigraha, or Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. That is, any part of his Ananda Chinmaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them.
Sometimes people think, if I perform this meditation or I do this yoga of sorts, then I will become God. But Krishna is not that kind of God that he has to become. He already is. So if one can become God, that means we are all God and have forgotten, that means that something has made God forget, so he's no longer the supremely powerful. What about the argument that, well, we can become God then? We're not God and have forgotten, but we're not yet God, but we can become. What do you think of that argument?
What are we now?
Dog. What do you think about that argument? Huh?
What are we now? What's this process? First day, check. Now to imagine that to make such a.
What are we now? What are we now? Dog. Yeah. Can dog become God just by changing a few letters? Quite unlikely. Because God means all powerful. How could something that's not all powerful become all powerful?
Then God is not being used to signify a person. God is being used to signify a
a what?
A state of being.
Which is, it's impersonal, isn't it, again?
It can't be personal.
It doesn't make sense that something that's insignificant can become all powerful. It can become a little bit more significant, but it's hard to believe that you that you'd have to become, you can become all powerful. So that means all knowing everything. No. Don't believe it. What do you think? Unlikely. No way. No way, mate. In New York they do that. Hey, you see that bridge over there? You want to buy it? I'll give you a special price on it. Buy Brooklyn Bridge. That's for only the tourists. So. Excuse me?
What about where we see a spark ignite a massive bushfire that's from the small to something totally...
What about that? What do you think? But is that the same as becoming all powerful? A massive bushfire?
In comparison, I mean, like something so small.
So you can become bigger, okay. But everything? Where does the spark become everything? And also, the spark itself didn't become everything, it burnt something else. So, what is, so how does the metaphor? How is it parallel, an example?
Where did the spark come from? It came from the fire
What is the spark igniting in this parallel thing?
Massive amount of fuel.
It's okay, so it's the fuel?
There's another element.
It's confusing, it doesn't fit the same, because if you can become, it's not you becoming, it. Yeah, it doesn't, it's not parallel, let me see.
And the circumstances would have to be right, and would only happen under very specific circumstances, so it wouldn't be able to happen to everyone. Maybe reality, you could do it, but you won't find where a small separated particle
becomes itself by its own power, becomes right. Everything.
That's right. It can be a transformation, but you won't find where that becomes something.
Yeah, and then so in that you, so what are you consuming? So that's not what it's being said that you by yourself, by meditating, you become everything.
There's no precedent.
Yeah,
what about a drop of water? It goes into the ocean, it becomes everything.
What does the drop doesn't become everything? It doesn't become the whole ocean.
No.
It loses, you could say that it loses its...
Okay, that's
another thing. That's another thing. It loses its own substance. It loses its individual substance. But so is that what they're saying?
No, they're saying that there's something which is currently minute but has a latent potency to become unlimited.
Even then, he said one ocean is a small tank, what is an ocean as against infinite powers of the Lord? There's nothing. You can't compare these things with that material examples. One ocean is just nothing. 10 oceans are nothing. From his pores, all planets are coming, the universes are coming. How are you coming?
Also, you can put all the drop, you can put it in a symbol and it will become a symbol. Why does it, it doesn't have to become the ocean? Peculiar philosophy. And then what happens to your individuality when you're put in there?
Once it becomes the ocean, it doesn't have any power of separateness. So you don't have anyone, you can't even discern yourself anymore.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's what they say. But the drop didn't have any consciousness in the first place. It didn't have any individuality in the first place. So there was nothing to lose. But if you change the example to make it more accurate, so if you put a fish in a bucket, and then you take away the bucket and the water goes into the water, the fish is still there. The living entity in the water is still there. So that would be more parallel.
He can swim in the ocean, but as far as
he doesn't become the ocean. He doesn't become all fish. He doesn't become the water. He's fish. Water is water. It doesn't work. So in any case...
Let's try again. There's an argument against it. There are really strong arguments against it that make it just the
mental concoction. Wishful thinking. Why do you want to get rid of your individuality so much anyway?
You want to become greater.
You can become greater, but then you're not greater. If you get rid of your individuality, you're less, because you don't have any individuality. You lose what you have.
When Prabhupada would give these arguments to people, they didn't hear what you just said. And I repeat again the same thing. Oh, no, but you see, I mean, it's going to become greater. You couldn't follow his simple logic because they were bent on something logical that they...
So if the city's philosophy is out of a sense of restriction.
Restriction?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Restricted. Embodied life and freedom.
So they want to get out.
Freedom.
But also they feel that if you're going to say that God is a baby, we've seen so many babies, and they have a baby as well.
But he's a special baby.
Yeah. That they,
he's
that
the most
they,
beautiful baby.
I'm not sure if they believe what he's doing.
Well, that's. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to that other point about what did Prabhupada say. Although the less intelligent regard them as mythological because a dull brain cannot understand them, they're real facts. So because you can't understand them certainly doesn't necessarily mean that they're not true. Because you say they're mythological, it doesn't mean that it's not true. Just like there may be some planet so far in outer space that the scientists have seen, and you may not have seen it, so you may doubt that it exists, but just because you doubt it exists doesn't have anything to do with whether it exists or not.
And if you were scientifically minded, you go to websites like the NASA website and you hear, you know, Dr. so-and-so place, you know, with his credentials, said such and such, and you don't know anything, so you just take it right in.
You tend to believe it.
The same principle as you're saying, that neither forward authority.
It's a prophet. This great liberated person, just by hearing these wonderful activities of the Lord, they became fully jubilant. So the nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this is how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost, but in fact everything was done by Krishna and everything was enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa.
They are liberated from the material platform. And this is the great challenge of our life, to somehow always keep ourselves in contact with Krishna Katha and always keep our consciousness on this level and never ever come down to the dull material level. This is the real challenge of life, either by chanting or by hearing or by speaking, by serving. There are 9 different forms of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanabandhanam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. One way or another, if we can keep our consciousness absorbed in any of these, or 2 of them, or 4 of them, or 9 of them, or 1 of them, but the whole question is absorption. So therefore Prabhupada says, one who enjoy the, and then we can enjoy the activities of Krishna done, are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sagunam Samatitya Chan Brahmaguyaya Kalpate. Because one is above the material realm. You know that verse? Brahma Bhutta Prasanatma Nasochiti Kalpati Javasamati. No, what is this one? Sagunam Samatitya Chan Brahma. And what's the beginning of it? Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. In other words, one has to be above the material platform. One's consciousness has to be absorbed on a different realm, on the level. And it's not abstract, but in thoughts about the transcendence. So there's different levels that one can do this. One can, the jnanis try to absorb themselves in that type of a oneness, a thoughtlessness, and a qualitylessness. The paramatmavadis, the yogis, try to absorb themselves on the paramatma, and the devotees, just by the process of hearing, become, and speaking, and smaranam, become absorbed on the transcendental platform in thoughts of Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Or in other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. So whoever engages in hearing, so sometimes our bodies are there, our ears are there, and the sound is there, but our consciousness is not actually engaged in hearing. Our consciousness can become engaged in just those kind of things we spoke about in the beginning, the past, the present, the future, but not involved in the present due to the over stimulations of the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance. We can be thinking about all the things that happened and all the things that will happen, but what is happening, the hearing, the Krishna Katha, the mind doesn't hear, even though the body may be there. That does happen. So we go in and out of the thinking, because as the modes push us around sometimes, but if we get an actual taste and attraction, then we just, like Sukadeva Goswami was so focused, and Maharaj Pickett was so focused because of their purity and their great devotion. Okay, let's stop here. Any questions or comments?
Quite remarkable that again we see like the intimate childhood associates young children were the ones who had declared clear by the arrangement of Jagamaya, they were the ones who had declared set from the water taking place.
That also happened where? Where else did that happen?
And with the Indra, when they, at the end of the Govardhan Lila, when Indra came to make an apology.
Yeah. Mm. And also Nalakavira Manigila.
They just told it as it was. Even the Numadas don't believe.
Because they could think, how could this little boy pull down the trees? And why were these effulgent people? I mean, Krishna's a good boy, you know, we all love him, but why would effulgent, first of all, effulgent people coming from trees? And then they offer prayers and walk around Krishna? Maybe because he's such a beautiful boy, they did that? Nah, I don't think so.
But it's for the Vatsalya love, they don't want to see, they're not inclined to be happy to see them independent and very powerful because they're loving and caring for him. And for the boys, you know, he's falls right in with
Nanda Maharaj is thinking, how could they be worshiping Krishna? Look at him right now. He's crying. And he's holding on to me so tightly and he won't let me go. Nanda Maharaj's heart is just melting. Oh.
Sometimes when there's thunder at night, you know, he comes and cries and gets scared.
And he goes,
this, he does that. How could
how could he runs to our laps?
He shall rise and steal.
He's so naughty. Dhru, you are naughty or not naughty?
I have not seen any demigods coming and worshipping you nowadays.
Yeah.
It really struck me that moment when you cut a little part and the sense of what how dramatic
and how dramatic, yeah.
Within the circumstance for everyone. Yeah, and that sort of you know, that sort of traumatic moment of a crash like that. And then, as you acknowledged, that's where Krishna...
Everyone just went, you know, they're hot. Yeah. It's your right.
It's with the baby dream.
This afternoon, what happened when Dhruva was pushing you and trying to keep you in the door, and he cried a little bit. And then mother immediately started because it's just so natural. If there's any thought of distress for the child, immediately because there's love, there's always anxiety.
It must be difficult for the devotees when they are trying to sell the book, especially Krishna book, to the foreigners, like to the Western country. That mythology point is a bit strong. You know, I think it's a bit difficult for them to.
Well, they can't. To buy the book is one thing. Mm. In other words, you can get someone to get the book, and the book itself is supposed to do the convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Prabhupada opened first thing in the Krishna book is George Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
George Harrison thinks this is good, so there must be.
Mm-hmm.
Then Prabhupada's prefaces is very interesting. It starts off, in the Western countries, when someone sees the cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? So immediately...
Yes, who is the girl? And you know, you read the whole thing and he doesn't tell you who the girl is.
But at least he tells you who Krishna is.
He doesn't tell you who the girl is.
Who is that girl with Krishna? That you have to read onward. But yes, it's very, but also in, you know, Westerners have one problem, Indians will have another problem, because they say, yes, yes, we know Krishna, but they think everything is ultimately impersonal. That's the tendency in India.
All is one.
All is one, let's have fun.
It's not difficult for the devotees, whether they're foreigners or others, to sell these books and distribute these books. Because the higher forces are working in these things, you know. Super soul is there also and here also. Mm. So it inspires. It's not on the basis of conviction, there's no time. You can only speak 1 or 2 minutes to somebody when you offer a book. There's no time to convince.
Mm.
But the super soul is inspiring, I would like to have it, you know, it's a donation or something.
I don't know, it's true, Adoki, I was thinking of what you were saying, that when we were living in Hong Kong, we couldn't speak Chinese. And we had made a magazine, the Back to Godhead magazine, and actually later we found out it didn't make any sense. Because we had put it together and there were people translating who didn't know what they were translating.
Yeah.
And I used to go and distribute them once for an hour every day. I'd go for 1 hour. And I would stand by the ferry where the people were rushing through, coming off the ferry from the island. And I would hold it out like this. And invariably in one hour, almost every day, 30 people would walk by and somebody would grab it. And I would just show them a $1 coin, and probably people grabbed it, and I'd go like this with the $1, and some people would look at it, and then they'd give it back. And some people would look at it, and they didn't even know what they were doing, they were in such a hurry, and they'd give the dollar, and they'd keep walking with it. And it was so clearly had nothing to do with any ordinary logic or communication, that I couldn't give anything, or I could say was amazing. They're like, what's the support of what he's saying? It has something to do with Krishna and their hearts. And one remember that Chinese gentleman who rang up, he went on and on and on in Chinese, and we didn't know how to speak Chinese. And he just wanted to know what it was about. And he was very working class. And he came and he had come to our meeting, he couldn't even speak. We were all talking in English. He couldn't even understand English. And he came for a few months like that, and he spoke with Kirtan. And when somebody came and spoke Chinese and asked him, and he said, what is it about? What is it? He didn't know what it was. It didn't make any sense because the translators weren't qualified. And still he was coming. For some period of time.
Of course, your intention does work. If you are anxious to please Prabhupada by distributing more and more books, the results will come by your efforts also, because then the super soul feels happy if my children are working something or something, he gives the rewards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean one doesn't have to have make an effort. Effort has to be there.
But then when you try to explain these pictures over here to the people who don't know anything about Krishna, it may be a little difficult. Okay, but let's stop tonight. Hare Krishna.
We ended up in the gallery.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Tradition says